Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello. Hi, guys. How's everyone's mental health? Is everyone doing okay? I know I get a lot of listeners all over the world, and it's not just the United States, but whoa, I am recording this on November 4th. It will drop on November 6th. So I'm recording this intro on the morning after the US election. And, you know, I'm not going to talk specific politics. What I'm going to talk about is the stress of a country that is divided in half. In half. I mean, I think we all knew it was going to be somewhat of a close race. Some more than others felt that way. But the fact that it is almost literally like we took a knife and cut through half of a pie in the heart of this country, it can cause a little anxiety for some, me included. And so, you know, I just think we have a lot of work ahead of us. I don't know who's going to win, but it doesn't really, I mean, it matters. It matters to lots of people very strongly. But what I'm saying in terms of this conversation is it doesn't matter as much who's going to win as the work ahead of us as a society to find a way to come together. And I have some thoughts about that this morning that I'd like to share with you. So I look at my role here in this world, the role that I have been given through my experience of being a person who has struggled in my particular way. And I see my role as a person who has a responsibility to awaken as much as possible each person to their own personal truth. And the reason that I have hope that this will eventually bleed into our coming together is, as I mentioned, I believe in the last podcast, the reason that we hate each other, the reason that there's such a divide between us and other human beings, sometimes even in our own families, is that we're not getting our own needs met. And our own needs are more complicated than just, you know, I want a hot bath and a new sweater. Our needs are feeling inherently and deeply understood and heard and seen and valued and acknowledged. And those needs are powerful. And the sort of sad but bizarre truth to the matter is oftentimes the person who is not meeting our needs is ourselves. I don't think that's because we're self-hating people. I think that's because we literally do not know how. We don't know how to meet our needs in a way that feels satisfying because I don't think we understand the imperative, the value, and also the path to finding our own truth. So there's my role. There's where I come in. I seek, as you well know, if you are a fan of this work, to open people to themselves. And you know, pain, although very unpleasant, is a really effective entry point because most people won't stop what they're doing, the busyness of this life, and pause and take a look at their deeper needs of self-knowledge and of alignment with their deepest sadness and fear and joy and excitement and all the things that make up a rich life. We don't pause to take a look at it until something stops us. And pain is often the thing that stops us, whether it be emotional pain, you know, depression, anxiety, a lack of zest for life, a lack of joy, something that feels like we're walking through quicksand with, you know, concrete boots on, or physical pain, you know, the migraines, the fibromyalgia, the back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, knee pain, foot pain, the neuropathies, the irritable bowel disease, the pelvic pain. I don't know, I might have repeated some of those. So, you know, any of the stuff that keeps us stuck, that's when we get to pause and open our eyes. And in opening our eyes, there is an awareness which leads to an openness and a willingness which leads to a discovery of the path back to ourselves. And that is something that I can teach. That's where I come in. So I don't know how this election is going to pan out, but I do know that as a society and as a human person, as you, have work to do to come back to yourself. Because if enough people come back to themselves and see themselves in the light of their essential humanity, it is almost impossible to hate other people. Because every time we look at others, when we really, really do the hard work to know ourselves, we see so much of ourselves in that other person that it becomes almost impossible to hate them. We can disagree, but not hate. I have a person in my life that is, I'm just going to say I have a person in my life that I know who is on the exact opposite ideological spectrum from me. And when I first met her, it was so many years ago, and it was before the divide in our country was so apparent. I know it was always there, and we just, a lot of us did not see it, but it wasn't apparent. And so it never sort of was appropriate or even made sense to discuss ideological differences. You know, we were raising children, young children who had needs like rides, places, and play dates, and interests, and friendships, and connectedness, and growing as little people. And so I got to know her in a way that was just seeing her humanity. And I saw the love she had for her kids, and I love my kids, and I love her kids, and she loves my kids. And as this whole political divide took shape, I never lost sight of that real seeing of her that I did. And so we are now at the height as a country of divide, of anger, of vitriol. I mean, it's pretty ugly. And I look to this person when I see her, when I think of her, when I see one of her children at my house, I only think of her with love. I have such deep love and respect for her because I have seen her heart. I don't give a shit who she voted for. I don't care where she stands on the issues. It's not my business. I love her. We don't talk about politics. I think we're both very just respectful and careful about that because it's unnecessary. It's not, has nothing to do with us, with how we know each other. And I know this sounds kind of like, you know, I don't know, Nirvana, but the thing is this. We can't see people very clearly if we don't see ourselves. And seeing ourselves is not something that is pleasant or comfortable or easy. So oftentimes people just don't choose to see themselves. But pain conjures a need. Pain is an invitation that brings us to the precipice of the truths that have been awaiting our acknowledgement. And if we choose to live, then we must choose to look. And when we look and when our defenses come down and when we don't see ourselves as so different or so other than the people with whom we share a planet, we have a chance to come just a bit closer together. So those are just some thoughts and feelings for this morning. I've also been thinking quite a bit about anxiety because, as some of you know who are following me on Instagram, and if you're not, please come over and follow me at Nicole Sachs LCSW because so much great content there every day. But I have been discussing there that I took a self-directed retreat. I went to the mountains of Asheville, North Carolina by myself, and I completed the anxiety course that I have been compiling for years. And I think it's great. I'm really excited about it. And so I've been thinking a lot about anxiety, about how we soothe ourselves in the moment alongside all this healing work we are doing for pain. And so I'm really excited to share that with you. So it's in production. So all the content has been created. It's in production and it is going to launch on Black Friday. I decided to just jump right into, you know, into the mix of pick a day to launch it. And I'm like, yeah, let's launch it on Black Friday. Everybody can go grab their big screen TV and an anxiety course. So that's the day it's going to launch. And what I'm going to do for the weekend of Black Friday is it's going to launch all weekend at a deeply discounted introductory rate. If you would like to get on the waiting list to be informed and to not forget, because it's only going to be that weekend that rate runs, please go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. And there's an opportunity on the homepage as well as the resources page to click the link and to join the waitlist. And all you have to do is put your email in, and then you will receive an email notification when the course goes live. It's an online course, by the way. I've been getting some questions about this. This is not a live event that you have to make time to attend. It's an online course, just like my first course, Freedom from Chronic Pain, is an online course. It's self-directed. It's videos. It's original reading and writing exercises. There's some really beautiful art therapy in there. There's a lot of guided meditations and some very concrete tools to bring you to a place of rest and repair when it comes to your anxiety, which can be so helpful in the healing process from chronic pain and honestly, just helpful in being a human being. So that's going to be available to you soon. Other than that, you know, I'm just doing my best to manage my children's expectations for this pandemic as it continues. Some of my kids are having a really rough time with it, others not so much. You know, everyone's personality kind of plays a role when you have a challenge like this, but they're doing pretty well. And today I bring you a really positive and upbeat interview. We recorded this a little over a couple weeks ago, I think, so we weren't so mired in this election drama at the time. We discuss it a little bit, but today I'm talking to Elizabeth Cott. She is the co-host of the podcast That's So Retrograde, which is a really significant turning point for me in terms of being kind of out there and speaking to you guys about my message, because a couple of years ago, they invited me onto the podcast when I was very new in deciding to bring my message kind of forward-facing. I had been in private practice for years. I had published my book, but I hadn't really made any big effort to speak out, and I knew it was time. And Elizabeth was amazing because when I met her immediately, there was a spark between us of knowing that we understood and connected, and she immediately they were already booking months in advance, I remember, for the podcast. And she said, listen, when can you be in LA? This, of course, was back when certain podcasts only recorded in person because it was before coronavirus. But she said, when can you be in LA? Let me know when you're there and we will get you in for that week, which was fantastic and amazing and just really encouraged me that there were people that would want to hear this. And so I flew out to LA. I had a few different reasons for being there, one of which definitely was to record That's So Retrograde with Elizabeth and Stephanie. They co-host the show and they're incredible. They're hilarious. They bring really important healing information forward, but also with like an incredible sense of humor, and they're hilarious and adorable and I love them both. And so, and I've been on actually once since in the pandemic. We also did another conversation. So go over to anywhere you get your podcasts. That's So Retrograde. If you were looking for some really great mind, body, spirit, healing information, conversations, with some great humor and some levity. The reason that Elizabeth and I got together today is because in addition to just being a great vehicle for my work with her podcast, she has done my work, dealt with some resistance for quite a while, kind of held off on it. And then when she finally got rolling, really saw some incredible changes, not only in her body, in the way it was responding to her symptoms, but also to her emotional and psychological world when it comes to how she views pain and how she views fear. And her message is a really powerful one. So I'm excited to bring that to you today. So if you're new to my work and you're looking to find out more about it, my website has everything you need, www.thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. Many, many free resources. If you're interested in going deeper, I do have my online course, Freedom from Chronic Pain, which is a self-directed course. I'm also running another virtual retreat May 7th through the 9th. You can sign up right on my website. And I'm working on a second book right now. The anxiety course is launching in a few weeks. So a lot of exciting stuff going on. And hopefully all roads point to us being together in person at the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies next August 1st through the 6th. So I think those dates are correct, but you know, we have time. Anyway, all of this stuff happening. I'm very excited. And please, 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 final message. If you're enjoying this podcast, if it's meaning something to you, if you look forward to it on Fridays, if you feel like it's helping you, please consider going over to iTunes, giving it a 5-star review and rating it. And I guess that would be a rating, and then reviewing it and writing me a few sentences about what it means to you. First of all, it lights up my day. I love to read your reviews. I just, the podcast reviews are the best. They're my fave. And also what happens on iTunes when you review it is that it allows more people to have that as a suggestion, and then more people find the podcast. Also, please subscribe, because if you subscribe, then you'll be notified and you'll get my episodes every week. Okay, my loves, we're going to get through this, guys. We're going to fucking get through this. Okay? Okay? All right. We're going to do it. Okay, I send you big love, and enjoy this awesome conversation with me and Elizabeth Cott. Hey, everybody. So I am here today with Elizabeth Cott, and I first met Elizabeth when I was a guest on her podcast, which is called That's So Retrograde, an awesome podcast. Plug, plug, go listen to it. And I just so enjoyed meeting her. There are sort of rare moments where you walk through this earth and you meet a soul and you're like, you're my tribe, you're my people. And I immediately felt that way about Elizabeth. And so it was kind of random that indeed you even were needing to do the work, right? Remind me of like how it went when I first met you.
I believe, well, first of all, thanks for saying that and thanks for having me. I believe we connected through Ryan Weiss, who's one of my closest friends. And he was like, you need to have this woman on your show. And generally, when we're considering people for the show, I always just love to have a call to just understand their vibe, to really just see if they would make a compelling episode. And so we got to talking, and at the time I had been suffering like a crazy rash on my eyes.
Yes.
It felt like I had bug bites on my eyes for like a year. It was so itchy and I just could not figure it out. And just even thinking about it, like, is sad to me. It was kind of like a twofold thing. I felt like we were straddling the line between like me just understanding your work in like a broader sense into like how we can incorporate it into an episode. And then also like my own detective work being like, this is something that I need in my own life.
Right. Absolutely. And it's funny because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but before you and I were introduced, you didn't really have any idea that your eyes or any of your physical stuff that has ever gone through your body could be affected by the excavation of your emotional world, or did you?
Well, I had always skin stuff with me. So I had had an onset of acne, adult acne, when I turned 31. And throughout that whole experience, I was sort of like, well, what's happening in my life that this could be happening? So I was always kind of keen to the idea that there could be a correlation, but I never really went deep in the work for myself until we met. And then it really opened up like an actual grounded practice that got me really acquainted and got me to be a believer, some would say.
Yeah. And you know, what's really interesting that I find, being this person who has like trudged the road of trying to share this message for about probably like 10, 15 years now, is that even people who are totally awake and who totally are open to this kind of thing very rarely know that an emotional exercise can literally change the way your body holds physical symptoms. And so, I love watching people wake up to that and to really kind of make those connections and allow their fear to reduce and to calm down, which is definitely something I've seen in you over the last couple of years that I've known you. So Elizabeth, just tell us, you know, people who listen to this podcast are generally people that are struggling in one way or another with either chronic pain or skin conditions or stomach stuff or headaches or pelvic pain is a really, really big one right now. And so just kind of tell us your story a little bit about your experience of like what has been expressed through your body in your, opinion, because I guess there's no way to know exactly. And then what you kind of did with this work and how's it going?
Sure. So as I mentioned, skin has kind of always been where things tend to express themselves for me. Which started in my 30s, which was a fun surprise for the decade that...
Totally.
And so started with acne, moved on to like a crazy, which was diagnosed from a dermatologist, is perioral dermatitis. So if anybody's ever been told they have dermatitis, it's such a bullshit diagnosis. It's just like such a blanket statement for skin irritation. So... that's always fun when they're just like, yeah, you have this rash all over your face and best of luck to you is kind of.
Which, quite frankly, Elizabeth, is the way pretty much every single person listening to this podcast feels regardless of their diagnosis, because anyone who's dealing with anything chronic usually comes up against, here's a name for what you have. And of course, then it becomes what you are. And then, and there's really nothing we can do about it except for these few things that pretty much don't work and have side effects at times. So you're in good company.
Okay. Hi, guys. So I want to say about the perioral dermatitis, I had rashes on my eyes, under my ears, around like the marionette corners of my mouth to like around my nose. I mean, it was like a thing. And it was uncomfortable. And I think I've spoken to a lot of people, obviously, as you do too, who are going through something chronic and that they can't really put their finger on it, you can get kind of paralyzed and you don't really know, like, as you say, the next right considered action. Like, it's really hard to see it. It gets really foggy. And there's something that you told me when we first spoke, and you said, you know, there's a way to like kind of accept it, in which you're just like, okay, this is how you are right now.
Right.
It was something like that. And at first that seemed really unachievable to have that much of like a neutral emotion around it, because it was my face and it was so uncomfortable. You know, it's like all of these things. I was so spun out that I almost like couldn't even go see a dermatologist, because it was like something I'm eating, something I'm putting on my face. Like, and what is it? You know, I was in this like flurry of anxiousness around it. And to be able to just look at it and be like, okay, this is how you are today, and that's fine. That's where I'm at now. So,
right. So I'm dying to know how you characterize that, crossing that bridge, because that exact point that you just made, first of all, it's everything. It changes your nervous system from fight or flight to rest and repair, allows for transformation, but people have such a hard time with it, reasonably so. So I'm loving that you're going to kind of tell your experience with this.
Yeah. So it was also about like, I don't know if this is common or not, but being like afraid to go see doctors. I felt really nervous around getting a steroid because it was on my eyes. And I was like, was reading all these things about how bad that could be. So I had so much resistance to like speaking to a specialist, which I wish I would have been able to have more confidence to look into sooner. I know that might sound weird, but I had just a lot of like entanglement with my own emotions about like what I should do next. And to go get, like going to see the doctor was hard for me, but once I did it, I was able to get a diagnosis, which is like, okay, which wasn't really helpful, but it eased the anxiety around it in some case, because like apparently this is something that's really common. So it was like, okay, cool. And then there comes the work that I had to do personally. And the journal speak that you talk about as, you know, an anchor of the work that you do has been life-changing for me in a lot of ways. One, it ignited my ability to not be spun out when anything is acting up for me. So skin, I have really gnarly TMJ, like all of those things. The longer I've been doing the journal speak, which is, I started it probably in March, right. When quarantine started. And I was like, well, the resistance up, because I have no other excuses because I'm home all day. So like,
right.
Like I have to, like they're all barriers to entry. The only one was myself. So I needed to really, listen to why that was coming up. And once I was able to get my own self out of the way and starting to do the work, what happens pretty immediately within the first few days is that the channel from, I'll call it my heart, to my head, it's like there was a road clearing. Like, and there was a, yeah, it's like there's road work being done, and it's opening up the lanes, and you can like take a speed pass from the heart to the head, and the communication line is just there. And I know how I feel about things, and I know what I think about things, and I know what I want, and I know what I don't want. Like all of these things started really coming up where there was just cloudiness before. And because of that, I think that with that channel, and I'm like saying this out loud for the first time, so pardon me as I work out my words, but it allows for that upset that might come from when my you know, rash shows up on my eyes. I kind of am able to just accept it in a way that you know, I never had before. Granted, you know, because I went to the doctor, I got a mild steroid, and I have my own way of using it that doesn't cause too much harm to my skin, which is something I was really nervous about and all of that. But it's like, cool, I've got the tools, whether they be topical, whether they be emotional, like those are strengthened and they're there. And it's just not, doesn't control my existence in the way that the acne did, and then the eye irritation. I mean, it was just like 5 years of just being so underneath it.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that it is incredible to me, both in my own life, looking back and into for the thousands of people I've spoken to, how lost we get in this abyss of our fear over our physical selves. It's astounding. And it's, of course, you know, I often say, you know, there's something to the cliche, without your health, you have nothing. Because if you're having a problem with your physical health that's making you scared, it takes up all your space.
And well, and has there ever been a time where that hasn't been more true on just a macro level? Like, the health of the world this year has been compromised, has been challenged to the nth degree, and it stopped everything.
Yes. Yep. It's like TMS is rising as the metaphor for our collective need to raise our consciousness and finally take a look at what really motivates us. Our pain and our hurt and our anger and our trauma and the things that have made us grieving and made us, you know, embarrassed and ashamed and regretful and all the things, they need to be looked at.
And it's actually, dare I say, really fun. I mean, when I first started the Journal Speak, and we did a great video on the, and it's up on the That's So Retrograde YouTube channel. I want to shout that out, where I, because I had so many questions for you when I started doing the Journal Speak work, and we go so deep in on it. And so I just love that. It's one of my favorite conversations that we've had this year. So I just need to plug that. But to really just write down the things that I wouldn't even let myself think.
Yeah.
Was a revelation. And they don't hold on to you anymore. It's like you write it down on the paper or you type it out and it's like, oh, I don't even think I believe that.
Exactly. What's amazing about Journal Speak is it doesn't stay true. You know, I often say that my first Journal Speak revelation was as a 32-year-old woman with two children under the age of two, that I had to write on a piece of paper and look at the words, I hate being a mother and I'm trapped and I'm never getting out of it. I mean, imagine the darkness of that sentence. And as soon as I looked at it and I realized what I was holding in to not say that, it just transformed. I was like, wait a second. I'm just feeling like sad and scared and overwhelmed and who knows how to be a grown up and God knows who knows how to raise a child. And I'm a baby myself inside, like all of that stuff, that compassion for myself just became so overwhelming.
It's incredible.
It
feels like it's such a simple thing. But there's so much magic in the simplicity, and that's what I really love too. And I love that, hey, it's like a free thing that we can do. Cause you know, our show is wellness focused, and it's always, you know, it started as a trend show and it was LA and you know, very kind of like tongue in cheek of like, what are the wellness trends and yada, yada. But then I always would joke, I'd be like, well, how much does that cost? Really, our whole motto has landed in like breathing, smiling, hydrating, and journaling are all these things that are really within an arm's reach that require very little monetary investment.
Yes, totally. So I'm going to right now, Elizabeth, quote you back to yourself, because as you were speaking, you said something that really got me. And so I wrote it down, and you just said, this is, by the way, cut to 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
No barriers to entry. It was only myself. And you're discussing your openness to start your Journal Speak practice. So I would love for you, and I don't know the answer to this question, to share with us your Journal Speak journey, because I know that when I first met you, I think it was between then and at least a year or two that you actually began to do the work. And I know you were suffering physically on some level. So talk to us about the resistance process, because I do think a lot of people hear this message. Maybe at first they like their ears go up and they're like, huh? I don't know. But even once they start to really embrace the logic of it and the necessity of it, they can't freaking do the work. So what's your experience of that?
Resistance for so long, resistance for anything. That is like a theme in my life, that like I'm really good at like putting things off and that whole dance. I relate to it so much. And like I said, you know, it took March, it took being confined to our homes for me to like have no excuse. There's nowhere for me to go. I don't need to, you know, my day is my own. Of course, I have my own business and I work for myself. But like, if I'm saying that I don't have 20 minutes to sit with myself when my entire career is built around making space so that you can take care of yourself so you can show up for the world around you, like then that's just being a full-on imposter. So if I can't even do that for myself, like what am I talking about every week? And I knew, like, I think we all get called to something. And when we have that resistance, I think it's an indicator that we know we're supposed to be looking into it. And it just was like all the walls that I had told myself were, I'll get to, you know, I know I should be doing journal speak, but I'm not yet, or I'm not ready, or I'm scared, or any of that. It just was like, I couldn't cop to any of those excuses anymore. It was just time. And I know I even said that to you. I got on the phone with you. I was like, it's time. It's time for me to do this. And yeah. If I'm being, you know, fully transparent, I did it for 2 months and then I fell off. And
which is normal.
Yeah. And excitedly, another thing I was feeling insanely resistant to, really the same energy of I know I should do it, but was with the Artist's Way. And finally, I started the Artist's Way, and I'm on week 8 right now. And as we know, for those of us who are familiar with Julia Cameron's work, she basically has us doing journal speak every day.
Yes.
And here's what I love. So in the Artist's Way vocab, it's called morning pages. But to be able to combine the mindset of the Artist's Way, which is to tap into our inner artist and a lot of inner child work, mixed with the blunt honesty of the journal speak, to combine those two has been like a magic process for me. Like, I don't think I would be getting as much out of the morning pages if I didn't use your method. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, totally. And I haven't done, you know, it's funny. I'm talking to you and I'm gazing over at my bookshelf and I see the Artist's Way. See it? It's staring at me. I did do a few weeks of it years ago. And the kicker is that I was not sober yet. Mm. And when I say I wasn't sober, meaning like I needed to fucking get sober. I was drinking every day. And so one of the things I recall, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, is she says something about that at the beginning, right? That she used to write when she was drinking and it was just like a self-pitying mess. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So even through the drinking, I did remember what I read, you know, cause like I'm amazing. But anyway, I was not amazing at all at that time in my life. I was very lost. And so anyway, what I'm saying is that I need to get back to that too, because I think a lot of people are, they ask me sometimes like, okay, I've done the journal speak. I'm not having physical chronic symptoms anymore. I might have things that move through my body, you know, like one day, you know, your eyes will flare up, or one day someone will get a headache, or one day your back will feel stiff. Yeah, because sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies. We're not ever going to be immune to the feelings that we have as part of being a human being. But for the most part, when people do this work consistently, they're no longer experiencing chronic symptoms. They're no longer living in fear. So that means they have access to acceptance, which is exactly what you just said. And they're always like, what's next? What's next? And actually, I think this is a really productive conversation of what's next, because we all need to find our inner artist. This isn't about being a painter or a sculptor or a dancer. This is about, what is the artist? Where is the beauty? Where is the creative expression looking to come out of you? And so I think that's really awesome.
It's been completely life-changing, if I'm being honest. Like, these past 7 weeks, I feel like have been devoted. Like, it's been really top. The first month of doing the work, I was in Michigan visiting my family, and there's a lot of child work and revisiting the inner child type of stuff and relationship to parents. So much of the things that you talk about in your work, just kind of like in a different compartment, but it's really the same core ideas and principles that I know you speak of on your show and in your book. And I can't explain it really. I think I'm still going through it, but I feel the biggest thing for me is that I've been able to really shift my perspective of like everything I'm doing is an artistic expression, like everything. Whereas I thought that was turned off within me, even though I have a quite creative job, I never could see it as that.
Yeah. Well, perspective is everything. You know, I'm in the process of writing my next course, which is Freedom from an Anxious Life, because I think so many of us, especially now, are walking around anxious because the human animal is the only animal that is capable of having the reality that exists inside our minds be more real than what is directly in front of us. We're such victims of our perspective. And so, you know, that's why journal speak is such a wake-up call generally for people who have never taken the time to pause and look into their emotional worlds. You know, without doing that, A, our emotional worlds are like the marionette strings of our entire life. And B, the person making the decisions is like 6 years old.
So true.
So talk to me, Elizabeth, about your perception of the inner child work, just in general, because I think that the, you know, probably similar to the beginnings of That So Retrograde, like you get there certain buzzwords or certain things, you know, that are very LA, or there's certain things that are very new age, or there's certain things that are very psycho babble or ooga booga, and they get a bad rap. And I do think over the years, the word like check in with your inner child, you know, people right. just like tend to really just kind of bring it down in terms of importance and condescend to it. And so, but I think that we really, that it deserves, the theory and the impact of the work deserves a much more serious and deep look, because actually I think it's like everything. So what's your experience with it?
That's interesting. So my truth with it is that I realized like when I turned 30, that pretty much everything that brings me joy were the extracurricular activities that I did as a child. Like going to dance classes, doing art projects. I mean, like really full on like daytime summer camp type of stuff. And once I knew that about myself, it really opened up like a whole exploratory phase. Now, in my 20s, I went to Costa Rica and I did this like life training, yoga teacher training course situation. A little bit like fringe cult almost at that level, but luckily I was unscathed. But like one of the things they had us do was carry around a photo of ourselves as a child. They wanted us to carry it around for 30 days. I made it about 2 weeks, but it was about, but I understood the lesson of it. It was about connecting with that little kid and taking care of that little kid like it was separate from us.
Right.
And nurturing, like the best example I can think of is like, you know, a lot of women, we battle with the food we consume. And, right. you know, would you tell your little child not to have, excuse me, the food that they want if they're hungry, or deprive them from food if they're hungry? Of course not. So, you know, that's a small scale example, but just nurturing that and recognizing that, because there's like a purity within that gets lost, unfortunately. And when we're able to reconnect with that, and whatever the case may be, whether it's something like silly, like, oh, I love choreographed dance movements and I was obsessed with that as a child, so I'm going to bring that back into my day-to-day life. Or if it's deeper trauma work of like, wow, I always react, like I always feel like I said something that's going to get me in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something for me. And also having a podcast, it's a hilarious thing. But as a kid, I was able to figure out why I felt that like anxiousness around feeling like I'm going to get in trouble for something I said, because as a kid, I would say something, and if it got a weird reaction from an adult, I would obsess over it.
Hmm.
And I would be really worried that I offended somebody, or that someone was going to, I was going to get in trouble for something I said. And it comes up. And when I was able to like remember the specific occasion where I said something and then I was obsessed over, like couldn't let it go. I would think about it all the time and just feel really like held captive by that expression that was like out of line. And then when I feel it now, I was like, when I connected the two, I was able to say, wow, okay, that's what that is. I don't think it's really that real. We can let it
Well, go. You know, the thing about the concept of real is a perception, because what is real to you, of course, is real. And if you haven't done the inner child work and you haven't allowed that part of yourself to get her voice and to say to you in some way, shape, or form, this was really hard for me. I really suffered when I was embarrassed and ashamed and I said something and then I felt like I don't know how it was taken. And I really suffered. Until we actually hear that person, that little part of us, she's going to run the show. It's, you know, and it becomes very real for, I know for myself, in times that I've had to deal with my inner child work, because sometimes it's really unconscious. You don't even realize that you're behaving in a certain way, or you're caught in a thought loop about a certain situation until you really press the pause button and examine it. So, you know, I think I agree with you. I just think it is so super important.
Exactly. And the thing I love about, to go back to the journal speak of it all, is that like all of that just can find its way to that 20 minutes. And it's like the heavy lifting, and there just like isn't much, but the payoff is massive.
So say more about that. Say more about that, because people are often asking me, I feel like I'm doing it wrong, or I feel like I don't know what to talk about. And I always say, similar to what you just said, just begin. The process will take you where you need to go. So I don't know if you can say anything more about that, because I think people really need to get that.
Yeah. Oh, I fully felt like I was doing it wrong when I started. Hence the conversation that we videoed, because I had 9,000 questions for you. And I was like, we should record this because it might help someone else, really. And I've gotten such cool feedback about that conversation. I think it's – so can I – I'll just tell you how I start my journal pages. If I'm feeling stuck, I will write about the sounds that I'm hearing.
Hmm.
So I'll start like – I always write down the date. I always write down like the day of the week and like the location I'm in. And then I'll start with kind of, what's the weather out? Is it cloudy? All right. Then I tap in and I'm like, I can hear a car driving by. I can hear some demo work on a house outside. I can hear the hum of the refrigerator. You know, and I can hear a dog walk by, you know, like just the sight, you know, it's almost as if it's like a meditation, how we drop in. And then I go to how I'm feeling. And then it just kind of flows from there. But I always find that just starting with like the really easy, obvious, always, it's almost like opens a door. And then you can really start to dig in. And then, you know, I go for hard truths. How am I feeling? Why am I feeling that way? What are some things that are pissing me off? What are some things that are bringing me so much joy? Like it can really just start from there. And I know you offer us some great prompts to go visit. But sometimes for me, it's like, especially because I do them in the morning, and I try to do it before I start my day, it's really waking my brain up.
Mm-hmm.
But then I start having these conversations with myself, and then I'm just like, oh, this is how I feel. And then that ability to know how I feel about things just sits with me throughout the day. It carries me throughout the day in a way that's like pretty profound. It's unexpected.
Wow. You do a beautiful job of explaining it. And I actually think that technique is really going to help people. Oftentimes I suggest something similar, but I've never quite put it that way. What I suggest is if you don't know what to write about, you close your eyes, you take a few full breaths, and you say, what am I feeling most right now? And allow it to rise. I'm feeling irritated. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling excited. Whatever word rises. And then you could just say, I'm feeling so excited right now because, and begin. But I love the simplicity of just labeling literally what is around you. That's really beautiful.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you because I always am like, am I doing it right? And this is also something that Julia Cameron writes about in The Artist's Way. And I don't want to continue to connect the two, but there is, it's a similar practice. And the biggest thing, and then I also have this group that a group of 10 people, we meet on Zoom every week and we talk about our experience. Everyone feels like they're doing the artist pages wrong. It's like, you're right. I promise it's just doing the writing for these 20 minutes. And in the artist pages, it's 3 pages, which turns out that's 20 minutes. So there's something to, or for me, that equates to 20 minutes. So there's something to this repetition and this constant that it is, it's like this magic unlocking. I can't really describe it as anything less special than magic.
I love that. I love that. And I mean, you know, I love the word magic. Hello, puppy.
Hi, puppy.
I love the word magic. And I love the word miracle, but I always hesitate before saying them because I don't want to trivialize this process. But like, really, guys, especially in 2020, don't we want the fucking magic and the miracles? Like, aren't we needing to just really embrace the kind of stuff? This is like capital R real with what can become of our lives when we embrace this. And, you know, Elizabeth, something that you just said, because considering we just spoke about the inner child, came up for me. So you said there's something about the consistency that just creates this magic. And you know what it made me think of? How do we build trust with children? We build trust through consistency. Mm-hmm. Children will only trust you. And I know this, first of all, because I'm raising 5 of them, but also because I've worked with lots of kids over the years. My first job in the helping profession was I was a school social worker for 6 years and in a middle school, no doubt. And it was like, it was crazy. And it was sort of like not a low income community, but it was a community that was fraught with a lot of addiction and a lot of neglect. And working with these kids, they just needed you to show up. They just needed you to show up day after day, no matter what happened. And that's essentially what Journal Speak is. It's showing up for yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Without question. So I'm curious for you and your Journal Speak practice. Is it every day, no matter what, no days off?
Not at all.
Okay. Talk to me about this.
Yes. Yes. Look at Elizabeth jumping right into the interviewer. I love it, dude. I fucking love it. Thank you. I like to not always have to ask the questions. Yes, that is a great question because I think people really fear when they start this, they're like, okay, great. I know this will get me out of chronic pain, but is this like a life sentence for the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is a flat no. However, I know how much better I feel when I'm at least vaguely consistent with my practice. Like if I'm doing it 4 to 5 days a week, I am a completely different person emotionally than when I am not. And that comes down to what I often characterize as the choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. Because there are some days where the concept of looking at myself, the concept of really, because I'm not in any physical pain, and generally I'm not super anxious. And even when I am, I can practice acceptance around it. So there are days like that where I'm like, do I really want to just be with myself? I'm so sick of myself. You know, I don't want to be with myself. And there are a lot of days when I feel that way that I choose not to do my journal speak. And that's a choice. It's a conscious choice. And I know that there will be moments of that day that I will be triggered, that I will be quicker to anger or to at least inner irritation, that I can spare myself if I am just willing to step over my resistance and do my work. And what I want to say to people is, however this goes, it's okay for me. Like, if it's a day that I decide it hurts worse to look at myself, then I endure the whatever, you know, the irritation or whatever. And, you know, it's funny, as I'm speaking, I want to pull something up because someone sent me something, and I know it's kind of been going around the internet, but I'm going to read it. And it just says, choose. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your hard. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your hard. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard, but we can choose our hard. Pick wisely. And I fucking love that, because that's the answer to your question. Some days I do it, some days I don't. They're all hard. And, you know, they go how they go.
Choose your heart. That is a beautiful sentiment. I want to say something. You mentioned inner irritation. And I don't want to say that this work gets rid of inner irritation, but I will say my relationship to that inner irritation is, it doesn't have the grasp on me. And like the blood boiling feelings that I have, they're there, but I don't take them on.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I don't think we can exist in this moment right now without being irritated. I'm living in Los Angeles. I go outside. People aren't wearing their masks. It's insane. Like, there's just so much to be mad about, and it makes me irate. And then I'm like, wait, it's not just that one thing. It's what's happening on such a global level, and I'm able to channel it into this one thing. Had I not been doing this work, I don't think I would be able to have such an easeful relationship with those like moments of just like pure election-induced rage. You know what I mean? Like, it's there, but it's not like affecting my body.
Well, I'm glad that you're saying that, because in my mind, I am doing a calculation of when this podcast will air, and it's actually going to air the Friday of election week. So Elizabeth and I wish you peace.
Yes.
Whatever is going on that day, which could be so many things. It's so interesting how unpredictable life is right now.
Absolutely. I think that is, for me, one of the biggest takeaways, for better or for worse, from this year is plans don't mean shit, but it's okay to have dreams. You know what I mean? Like, it's recalibrated my way of visioning and also taken away my need to know.
Dude, you are quotable in this episode. Plans don't mean shit, but it's okay to have dreams. I love it. So good. So, so good. Okay. So before I give you my final question that I want to wrap with, was there anything else that you hoped to discuss in the interview?
No, I think your questions were spot on and you answered my question. So
yay.
Yay.
So it's a big yay. All right. So I will ask you my final question, which I always ask to all of my interviewees, which is, you are looking out upon a sea of thousands and thousands of people, many of whom are suffering, some of whom are feeling the lowest, as low as you felt on your lowest day when you were terrified of what was going on with your skin, when you were looking at your life with fear. What is the best advice you can give to this audience?
The advice my mom always said to me when I had a hard day from coming home from school, or, you know, when something really challenging was happening in the world or in our family, this too shall pass.
Yes. Yes. And you know what's amazing about this too shall pass? And I've been talking about this a bit on Instagram lately. I think I did one of my IGTV series pieces on it, is that the only way to prove to yourself that this too shall pass is being able to unclench, deal with what you're dealing with, and then look back and be like, oh, shit, that passed.
Exactly. And I'll just speak tangibly to that. Anyone dealing with skin stuff, it doesn't last forever. It just doesn't. Like, our skin never looks the same. Like, it ages. It changes. We know this. And once I was able to, like, remember that, because I've, you know, been through so much healing with that, and then it coming back and vice versa, it never stays the same.
And all of life never stays the same. And I think there's both beauty and pain in that statement.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, as I say often, there is a cure for chronic pain. This emotional work, consistently paired with belief and patience and kindness for yourself, is a cure for chronic pain. But there is no cure for the human condition. There is no cure for aging, that your skin will change, that your body will become whatever it becomes. And acceptance of that can lead to an incredibly peaceful life.
I couldn't agree more. And I just, you know, I'm like your biggest fan. I think you have just scratched the surface on what you are offering this world. And I'm so excited that you have this show and just how many people that are able to access your work. And I just think it's just going to blow up. I don't think we even know.
Yeah. That's very exciting. Well, thank you, love, for saying that. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I also want to remind people, because Elizabeth remembers this far better than me, obviously, there's apparently this incredible video on YouTube where I answer lots of questions. So remind people where they can find it.
Yeah, it's on That's So Retrograde has a YouTube channel. You can just type in That's So Retrograde if you're on YouTube, and it's Nicole Sachs Journal Speak, or you can just look that up.
Awesome. And where else can they find everything That's So Retrograde? Because, guys, it is such a fun podcast. First of all, it's helpful and it brings forward so many interesting, cool thoughts and tools, but also it's just fun. You know, my podcast isn't that fun. My podcast is kind of serious. Your podcast is fun, but where can they find it?
We have fun with the serious. That was really always the goal. And I think we've really been able to hone in on that in a very beautiful way that is both of service, but with like silly, taking it light, making it lighthearted and fun in the process. You can find us, we're at So Retrograde on Instagram, where That's So Retrograde, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are almost coming up on 6 years, which is wild. Like grandmothers of podcasting. And you can find me at elizabethcott.com. And yeah, good stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again, my love. And for all of you guys out there, if you're enjoying the pod, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps so much people find the podcast. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.